There's a new book out that talks about losing weight. It's called The Relativity Diet. It's a diet theory of everything. That's the subtitle. And our guest is the author, Sean Malarvey. Dr. Sean Malarvey is from Sturgeon Bay. He's the author of it. It's published by Event Horizon Publishing, and really pleased to have him with us today to share his experiences, his own experiences with weight. As part of the book, it certainly includes that in the book, and his own advice for being healthy, losing weight, living a healthier lifestyle. Certainly, if you have some questions or comments as we move along, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Sean Malarvey, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it.
Well, good morning, Larry, and thank you so much for having me on your program.
Well, I was interested right away in the beginning of the book. You talk about the fact that as of September 21st, 1962, you were the largest baby ever born in Prairie du Chien Memorial Hospital.
That's what I was told. I'm sure that record's been broken by now, though.
12 pounds. Man, at birth. And you actually topped off at more than 300 pounds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was after the holiday season of 2003, Larry. I stopped weighing myself after one day it was 299, and then I just stopped. I'm not sure exactly where I peaked, probably within 10 pounds of that, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And the book is, so the book, talk about the book itself for our listeners, and what, it's kind of your story, in
well,
part.
It is. You know, there are a lot of diet books out there, and I've read probably most of them, and they all worked as long as I followed the instructions, but invariably, one day I'd stop following the instructions, and things would go back to the way they were. And during my weight loss phase, I guess it was about a 2 to 3 year process. I started to just sort of do it myself, and I did some, you know, research and reading, and sort of made a diet, I guess, that worked for me. And I was doing so much reading and research that one day my wife said, "Well, why don't you just write a book or something?" And as a matter of fact, she put a yellow post-it note to my computer monitor in my office. And then I thought, well, you know, why not? Because there were things that I was discovering in my reading and research that I had never recalled coming across specifically in the books that I had read. And so then I started, and I structured the book around three central pillars.
Yeah.
The first pillar being, emotionally healthy. The second pillar of sort of the mechanical aspects of diet and energy itself, and then the third pillar of energy expenditure or exercise. And I kind of described that process in one of the chapters, how it just sort of came to me one day in church, the third and final pillar, that being emotional health. And once I had that basic structure, it was just a matter of time before I had it done.
Oh. And I should mention, you were at over 300 pounds. Now you're at a much lighter weight.
Yeah, I'm at 220. I've been within 10 pounds of 220 over the past 4 years, I'm guessing.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So you've kept it off, and as you said earlier, I've had some experience of this myself, where you go on some sort of plan and you stay on the plan for a long time, let's say, and then you may lose quite a bit of weight. But once you go off the plan, and it's easy to fall off, as you even point out in your book, it's easy to fall off some of these plans, that then you kind of go right back to gaining weight.
That's the problem, and I think the reason for that, I'm teaching a class at the Y right now, And it's gratifying because the information that I'm sharing with the class, I can tell that much of it is, for the first time they're hearing it. But The problem with diets is that they are their instructions, and all diets work, or at least most of them do, as long as you follow the directions, follow the instructions. But see, that's not your diet. The definition of diet in the dictionary, at least one of them, is the usual food and drink of a person or animal. And so as long as the diet that you're following is not your usual food and drink, as soon as you stop that diet plan, whether it's, TV dinners or meals that you order through the mail or whatever, as soon as you stop that and you go back to your usual food and drink, then your body habit just reverts back to its original size. And so what you have to do is you have to make a healthy and appropriate lifestyle eating patterns that you have to make that your usual food and drink. The only way that's going to happen is with empowerment through knowledge of the various food groups, the macronutrients, and the various effects that they have on the body. And that's what I focus on, changing the readers and my students' perception of their usual food and drink.
Let's tell you, we have quite a few people to visit with you, Dr. Malarvey. So I'm going to turn to Ed in Chicago first. Ed, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Hello, Ed.
Great.
My question pertains to a relative of mine who has a specific fat buildup around the waistline. It's a hereditary type of thing. Just disproportionate amount of that dangerous fat. And I was wondering what you could suggest that they do to lose that, because it seems very difficult for him to lose this weight.
What you're talking about, Ed, is visceral fat or central obesity, and that's the body fat pattern of android obesity, which is most common in men. Of course, women can experience that too. It's just a spectrum, but it's more commonly observed in men. And that is, you're right, that is the, I guess you could say, the bad fat, the visceral fat that's associated with the metabolic syndrome, which is kind of like a precursor to diabetes. And there's nothing overly special about that fat. I mean, central obesity versus peripheral obesity as far as losing it. As a matter of fact, the central obesity, the visceral fat, tends to be more metabolically active than the peripheral obesity of the gynoid body fat pattern more common in women, the deposition of fat around the hips and the gluteal regions. And so my answer for your acquaintance is dietary control. And I know it's this is what everybody says, but there are things that you can that can be done to make it easier. The most control that a person can exert over their caloric balance or their energy balance is the amount of food consumed. That's the most control. That's where you get the most control. A secondary, the second most control that you can manifest is energy expenditure or exercise. The problem that most people experience when they lose weight is that the body doesn't want to lose weight. The body's resistant to change. And so when you experience a caloric deficit, when you're overweight or obese, the basal metabolic rate tends to downregulate because your body doesn't know if your next meal is, 3 hours away or 2 weeks away. It just assumes the worst, that you're going to be starving. And so it downregulates the basal metabolic rate. That's why people... And the more obese or the more overweight, the more downregulation there is. And so that's why it's so difficult for a lot of people to lose weight. But you can counteract that. You can augment and increase your basal metabolic rate by some certain dietary patterns and by adding just a little bit of exercise every day. That will sort of counterbalance that natural tendency to downregulate.
And so they have to kind of go hand in hand.
Yes, it's difficult for an obese person in particular to lose weight just by diet alone. It's very important, and it doesn't have to be hard exercise, just exercise at a low to moderate activity. But that's probably the most effective way, or one of the most effective ways, to keep your basal metabolic rate at an appropriate level so you continue to burn energy, all day long.
Yeah. And I thank you very much for calling, Ed. I wanted to... mention an email or a phone call from Margie who wanted to know what kind of doctor you are. I should have asked this to begin with for our listeners, and where you got your training.
I'm a general surgeon, Larry. I went to medical school at the University of North Dakota. And I did my 5-year residency program at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. And I've been in Sturgeon Bay, Door County, for the past 15 years, right out of residency, and I have a rural general surgical practice.
Perfect. We have that. Let's go to Megan in Canton, Minnesota. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to kind of highlight how accurate it is that mental state helps weight loss. For the last 10 years, I've gained weight, and I live healthy, I have a farm, I work hard, and I'm usually very happy, but I was noticing over time I was getting more and more depressed, partially because I couldn't lose weight no matter what weight program I used. So a few months ago, back in October, we finally got horses on my farm, and I grew up with horses. All of a sudden, I've lost 20 pounds because of horses. They make me happy. Isn't that strange?
Well, not so much. I was going to say to our other caller, maybe your relative should get a dog, because then you have to take that dog out for exercise all the time, and you're exercising yourself a bit. There's probably a little truth to that with the horses, Dr. Malarvey.
Oh, I'm sure that it is. There's even the caloric cost of grooming a horse is not insignificant.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We're going to dig into this some more with our guest, Dr. Sean Malarvey of Sturgeon Bay. He practices in that area. He's been there for 15 years. He's written a book called The Relativity Diet, A Diet Theory of Everything. And we'll get into more depth in exploring what he has in mind. Right after a look at the news here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Sean Malarvey of Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, who is author of The Relativity Diet, A Diet Theory of Everything. Really pleased to have him with us today to talk about losing weight and keeping it off. He has three pillars that he talks about: emotional health, diet and exercise. He has a relativity diet and exercise. And those are the three pillars, and we're certainly willing to take your questions and your comments as we move along here. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. And, you know, Steve in Fish Creek's online, so let's just go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Sean.
Hello, Steve.
Hi. I'm the editor of Door County Style magazine, and I was fortunate enough to receive a review copy of Sean's book. And I'm just about finished with my review writing. And I want to say something, and that is that Sean is being... He is way too... He's way too modest. This guy has run marathons. He not only lost 80 pounds, but he lost 80 pounds and ran in a marathon, and he does this continuously. And secondly, he's a really good writer. He's funny. He tells stories about, he tells the confessions of an overeater, and it's hilarious. And I weigh 165 pounds. I don't need to lose weight, or I don't need to, I run, I do all this kind of stuff. So that I'm approaching this book thinking, do I really want to read a book about dieting? And I started in the very first chapter, just hooked me, and I enjoyed the daylights out of the book. Secondly, because not only is it about his own personal life and the things that he's experienced, but he also then has a central section that has all kinds of scientific dynamics that relate Einstein's theory of relativity and all kinds of aspects about how you literally change your thinking process. It's not about you eat the grapefruit and you eat a hard-boiled egg for breakfast. Nothing about the diet. It's about how you actually change your consciousness. And that's what's so cool about Sean's book. And he's being way too modest, and you got to get him to talk about the things that he's done because he's an amazing guy. Thank you.
You done already, Steve?
All right. Well, tell you what, you should talk about some of these things. And one of the things that I really wanted to zero in on was the emotional side or the thinking side of it, which is an area. I mean, most of us have looked at exercise. Most of us have looked at different diets and so forth. But I'm not so sure that most of us have looked at that emotional health side of things.
You know, that's it took me years of, well, several months anyway, of maybe 10,000 pages. I really got tangled up in quantum physics for several months. And for a brief moment, I thought I was getting a glimpse of something mysterious that I was starting to wrap my mind around, and then it just disappeared, and it's gone forever. But my whole goal of that whole section of the book was just to basically make it a valid argument of uncertainty and that free will exists, because ultimately, I really do believe, you know, at the end of the day, that, you know, to become healthy and of a normal body weight is as simple as making the choice to do so. You know, the funny thing is about you know, obesity and overweight and weight gain, it's really not a mystery. Our body does exactly what it's supposed to do as far as sensing energy deficit, conserving energy. I mean, if it didn't, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
And you have to understand the body's natural responses to the things that we do and how that impacts, you know, weight gain and weight loss.
Well, it's and you've had your ups and downs. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, I had my seminal moment, as it were, and this is chapter two of the book, Fat Man on the Sailboat.
Yeah.
And that was again, that was right after my peak, 2003. I think it was in January or whatever, 2004. But I was on a vacation with a couple of brother-in-laws, and I came home and I was looking at pictures on my monitor from a picture CD that my brother-in-law Jimmy sent me, and the pictures were changing on 1.5 second intervals, and I was seeing, you know, gorgeous blue water, islands, and then all of a sudden I saw this fat guy on a sailboat, and for a fraction of a second, I didn't recognize myself. And then, of course, obviously, I did. And I went, I just thought, holy cow, I'm not only overweight, I'm obese. I'm not only obese, I'm morbidly obese. And so that was sort of my moment. And then began a gradual process where I, you know, educated myself with all my reading. And it took about, you know, 3 to 4 years to get to where I needed to be. But that's what started it for me.
Betty in Horicon has a question or comment. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Hello, Betty.
I am having problems losing weight. It started back in 2001. I was told I had elevated blood sugar. I would handle it with diet, and I did. And I lost 60-some pounds, and when I stopped losing, I went to Weight Watchers, and I lost another 60 pounds. And I have been following their diet, sticking to cutting down my points. I exercise. I get in about 5 hours of water aerobics a week, a couple sessions of strength training, and I ride an exercise bike at home. And all of a sudden, about 4 years ago, I stopped losing. And now, over the past couple years, even though I diet, I've gained about 50 pounds back. I'm 75 years old.
Hmm.
What, and my thyroid, they have upped my medication some. Do I have to spend my whole day exercising?
Hmm.
Well, that's a really tough question, but that's the most common, you know, question that I hear. Right now, I'm like 4 weeks into a class at the Y, and they're all women, as it turns out.
You're teaching it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all losing weight, averaging about 2 pounds a week. And, you know, it's hard to really talk about it without knowing the specifics. I think that with you know, with Weight Watchers and the point system, you know, that's a valid, you know, program, obviously, but you don't know exactly the calories of the food that you're eating. You know the points. And I think that when people are trying to lose weight, there is the whole role of insulin and the effect of carbohydrates. Because you have a low-calorie food, like, for instance, one of my students brought in a packet of milk chocolate-covered pretzels, and it was labeled on the package, 100 calories, low-calorie snack. And she said, why is this bad for me, she asked. Why shouldn't I take this, or is it okay? And with that, and she would use that as a snack. What that does, the higher carbohydrate foods like that, that causes a release of insulin into the bloodstream, and the insulin's natural response is to inhibit fat metabolism. And so if you're on a diet and your snacks between meals are, you know, high carbohydrate snacks, basically, you have a persistent, elevation of your insulin, which tends to suppress the fat metabolism throughout the day. And so that's one of the little things that you have to pay kind of close attention to. And it sounds like you already are doing this, but honoring, you know, that first law of thermodynamics that states that energy cannot be created or destroyed. Energy is forever. There's the same amount of energy in the universe today as there was at the time of the Big Bang. And so calories are a unit of measure for energy. So calories are forever. If you eat something, you literally own it. You're either going to spend it or you're going to store it. That's really all I can say about that. But it sounds like you're doing most of the right things from what I can tell.
Yeah.
There are apples and milk and cheese and carbohydrates. I rarely even have bread.
Yeah. Sounds like you're doing the right things. In your case, what you need to do probably, I wouldn't presume to give you medical advice, but it certainly would be worth going back to your doctor and getting a checkup. And Dr. Malarvey, would you agree with that?
Oh, certainly, especially for a senior citizen patient. You do want to be careful with weight loss efforts, especially if you're going to be aggressive with them. The thing that was probably most helpful for me is I was always eating more than I thought I was. And I think it would be very helpful to keep a food journal. Everything counts. You know, the tablespoon of sugar-free jam you put on a whole wheat muffin that has 35 calories, the creamer and coffee, the things that you maybe had throughout the day that you didn't record or remember. You have to be very religious, at least when you're trying to lose weight, of accounting for all the energy and the calories that you consume, because everything counts.
You know, Randy in Appleton has something kind of similar to Betty in a way. He says, why is it that after I start exercising more regularly, my appetite increases and I always end up gaining more weight? So then I quit exercising again. It seems like a crazy circle of frustration to me. Is this a normal thought?
Yes, that's true. If you exercise, it will tend to stimulate your appetite, especially if you exercise harder. The thing, as far as from the standpoint of weight loss and fat metabolism, if you exercise, you know, much more than 50% of your exertional level, which would basically be the level of, if you can carry on a conversation of short sentences while you're exercising, then that's, you know, low to moderate level of exertion. But if you exercise at a higher level of exertion, you will metabolize your glycogen stores in the liver and muscle as opposed to the fat stores. When you exercise at low to moderate levels of activity, you will metabolize primarily fat. But if you exercise harder like that and regularly, then you deplete your glycogen stores, and that does trigger, you know, hunger and the desire to consume more glucose so that those glycogen stores can be replenished, because that's what the body wants to do. The body has to keep its tank full, its tank of energy. The glycogen stores, that's the storage form of carbohydrate or sugar, and sugar is a preferred energy source for brain and red blood cells. And so you always need some sugar on board, I guess, glycogen as it were, to drive your brain and red blood cells, all day long and during the night.
We have some more emails here I wanted to get to. Sean, let's see, we have another Sean who says, a night worker who notices weight gain, what should they be eating to get through a shift and minimize weight gain?
You have to be very careful. I used to work nights as a chemical dependency technician during my first year of medical school, and that's the workplace in general tends to be toxic. because people will bring brownies, plates of cookies. It's very, very difficult, and especially if you're hungry. You know, if you go to work and you like skip breakfast, which you should never, ever do if you're trying to lose weight, then you go to work and suddenly there's a box of donuts or cookies. It's very hard to avoid those. So what you can do to avoid that night shift eating is bring a safe food, a snack that is not energy dense, something that you enjoy, it's reasonable. Do not go to work hungry. Do not skip supper. And as a matter of fact, if you're trying to lose weight, you should be eating something every 3 to 4 hours, because when you eat something, that increases your metabolic rate as the body works to digest the food that you eat. That's actually called diet-induced thermogenesis, and that effect is highest with protein, secondly with carbohydrates, and it takes the least amount of energy to package and store fat that you eat. And so by eating your meals and snacks between meals, you can avoid, you can realize a higher metabolic rate because of that DIT effect. And so for the night shift worker or anybody at work, going to work where they have to deal with temptations, do not go to work hungry and bring a safe snack, even if it's just a bar. You know, the bars, are indigenous to our society now, all the, high-fiber, high-protein bars that are available.
We have another email here from Marvin in Superior, who says, daylight hours are growing, so I eat the same foods, but I get out of bed an hour earlier and I stay active and an hour later in the evening as well. So I've got an hour earlier I'm active and an hour at the end of the day I'm active. Friends laugh when I tell them my weight loss plan. It's simple and easy, but it seems to work for a simple hobby farmer from northern Wisconsin.
Well, that's very true. The physical activity, I cannot overemphasize the importance of that. It's just so, it's crucial. For a long-term, lifelong weight loss, it can't just be by diet alone. It can't just be by exercise alone. It has to be by a little bit of everything.
And let's take a call from Margie and Franklin next. By the way, you can join in with your question at 1-800-642-1234. Now let's turn to Margie. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm the Margie that called in before and asked for your guest credentials. I'm a registered dietitian, and I always like to know what somebody's background is. Mm-hmm. So, and I've really enjoyed hearing your aspects of the book, and I'll need to get it and read it. I wanted to point out that the gentleman that said that he gets hungrier when he exercises, I would just like to remind that sometimes that feeling isn't hunger, some of it's dehydration. And when I exercise, I don't get hungrier, but I drink a lot more fluids. And I think that when people are exercising, if they concentrated more on fluids, it would work better. And the older woman that was talking about the weight gain back, as we get older, the increasing age is going to slow down her metabolism some. And type 2 diabetes tends to accelerate, and so that continues the whole way she's using it. And so I think it was a good point for you to recommend her to go back to see the doctor.
Yeah. Dr. Malarvey, comments from you.
Oh, thank you, Margie. I appreciate that as well. You know, one of the age-related, natural tendency to gain weight, that's thought to be, at least in part, secondary to the natural loss of lean muscle mass as a person ages. It starts somewhere in around the 30s, I'm guessing, and you tend to lose, both men and women, lose weight as you age. And because muscle has a higher metabolic rate than fat tissue, your energy balance slowly comes out of equilibrium, and if you continue to eat the same amount of foods, you will tend to gain, 1 to 2 pounds a year.
Right.
To halt that or stop that or even to reverse it to some extent, that lady that called earlier that's having the difficulty, she did mention that she does do some resistance training, and that's very key to counteract that particular effect.
That's right. And that also goes back to the point where some people start exercising and they feel like they're not losing weight. They could be gaining muscle, which weighs more. So I always tell people to watch how their clothes fit and how do you feel.
Yeah, that's another good point, because it's not fat. She may not have been gaining all fat. She might have been gaining muscle.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. I noticed that personally in myself.
The gain in...
The improvement in my clothes fitting, but not losing as much weight as I thought I should be.
No. Margie, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And let's see. Let's go to Mark in Baraboo next. Mark, hello to you.
I want to ask the doctor, you know, I've been thinking about a gradual loss. Actually, I've already done. You know, within a year's time, I lost about maybe 40 pounds. I was 240, now I'm down to 200. And I was wondering if there is any report on the sexual effect on, you know, on a man, the libido. What happens when you lose that kind of weight? Is there any study done on that?
I'm not aware of any studies of a relationship to a loss of weight and that issue that you bring up. I would think that it would improve just from the fact of losing weight, but I don't know of any particular study that addresses it.
You probably feel better about yourself.
Certainly.
And that may have some help in that area. So we don't have a study that we can point to, Mark, but anecdotally, it probably seems to work.
I would agree with that, Larry.
All right. Thank you again. Pam in Egg Harbor. Let's go to you. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm in Dr. Malarvey's Y course. And for the first time after being on many diets, I'm paying attention more to the three pillars, such as why I'm eating, what I'm eating, and the energy I'm using. And I'm not so concerned about, well, I am concerned about the actual poundage I'm going to lose, but that's not my main focus anymore. My main focus is why, what, and the energy. And it's just really helped me tremendously.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Pam.
Thank you very much for calling. So she's got all three of those pillars going for her.
Yeah, my students are a very motivated group, and I'm learning from them as they are from me. I'm learning how to phrase my thoughts better so that it becomes more understandable. That's what I mean. The more I talk about it to the folks that are that need help, the better I get at it, I'm feeling.
Yeah. Well, Pam, good luck. Continue on.
Yep. It's something that you're going to be able to use for the rest of your life instead of just, you know, having a diet that you have to, you know, follow, as the other lady said she's been doing, and it has, you know, all of a sudden it's not working. But if you know use the three pillars and be aware of what you're eating, it's the way it'll come off.
Well, I thank you very much for calling and appreciate your call, Pam. And Dr. Malarvey, it's been great talking with you as well. Your book is available. Get it, order it online, or any of your local bookstores can certainly order it, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, it's at the local bookstores in Door County currently. Since I'm a small publisher, it's available online at my website, relativitydiet.com.
Relativitydiet.com. That's the place to go for it then.
Yeah, and I have some background material. And one of my other thoughts, Larry, is that to lose weight, you have to have the compassion and support of somebody that believes in your effort. And that's, I feel quite strongly about that, and that's what I'm trying to cultivate. And the readers of my book and my class members want them to know that I care, and that's why I try to make my book as personal as I could, because you need support to get through this difficult situation that many people find themselves in.
Well, thank you again, and it's relativitydiet.com. That's your website?
Relativitydiet.com. Yes, it is.
Thank you, Dr. Malarvey.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Dr. Sean Malarvey is the author of The Relativity Diet. Thanks so much to him, and thank you very much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.